For decades now, our global leaders have been operating under a broadly reassuring assumption. Yes, they say climate change is dangerous, and yes, the science is unsettling, but at least the rate of warming is relatively predictable, and as long as we stick to the Paris Agreement targets and keep global warming under 1.5 degrees Celsius, or maybe 2 degrees at a push, then we'll avoid the very worst consequences. So that's not going too well, is it? The last 3 years have been, on average, about 1.4 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial times, and it's now pretty much universally accepted that there's no way we'll be stopping our civilizational juggernaut careering through the 1.5 degrees Celsius target in the next few years. But what if it's not just additional warming, but the rate of warming itself that's changed? What if the physics of the very system, not the misguided politics, not the disingenuous pledges, but the underlying energy imbalance of the planet, has shifted in a way that our models haven't quite kept pace with? And what if we've been running a gigantic accidental geoengineering experiment for the last century without even realising it? Well, that's essentially the argument put forward in a brand new publication from the Institute and Faculty of Actuaries, whose work I've covered several times in previous videos. And let me tell you, this one is a doozy. Hello, and welcome to Just Have a Think. Now, if you've been watching this channel for a while, you'll know that I've covered all of the IFOA's most recent work on climate risk management. I did a whole video on their original Emperor's New Climate Scenarios report back in 2022, then another one on their Climate Scorpion scenario, and most recently, a comparison between JP Morgan's Climate Intuition paper and the IFOA's planetary solvency work. And in pretty much every one of those videos, the actuaries have been consistently sounding an alarm bell that's noticeably louder than anything coming out of the mainstream climate policy world. This new paper, which has been produced in conjunction with a brilliant group of researchers at the University of Exeter and the Climate Crisis Advisory Group, headed by Sir David King, continues that trend, but it's even more urgent than their previous analyses. So what are they saying? Well, in simple terms, the actuaries argue that we're now at risk of moving into a period of accelerated warming, potentially taking us past 2 degrees Celsius before 2050, even if emissions start falling. That's a big claim. Mainstream climate scenarios, like those published by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, tend to suggest that breaching 2 degrees won't happen until at least the mid to late part of the century, if at all, depending on emissions. But the IFOA team bring together multiple lines of evidence showing that recent observations don't fit comfortably within those models anymore. And a lot of that comes down to something called the Earth Energy Imbalance, or EEI. That's the amount of energy we take in from the sun minus the energy that radiates back out into space. If the incoming exceeds the outgoing, the planet heats up. And according to satellite data, especially the Ceres instrument, this imbalance has been increasing much faster than expected over the last 2 decades. In fact, the paper explains that EEI has effectively doubled in recent decades and is now equivalent to every one of the 8.3 billion people on Earth today constantly boiling about 60 kettles around the clock, 24/7, 365. It's a mind-boggling amount of heat, and crucially, this increasing energy imbalance isn't something the models predicted. So what's causing it? Well, we all know only too well that for the last couple of centuries or so, humanity has been pumping carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. We know that tiny aerosol particles are also produced from coal burning, shipping, heavy industry, and so on. And I'm sure most of you good folks have heard all about how those aerosol particles reflect sunlight back out into space, effectively creating a planetary cooling effect that's somewhere in the region of 0.5 degrees Celsius. Now, if you watched my original video on the IFOA's Emperor's New Climate Scenarios paper, you may remember me mentioning that aerosols are one of the biggest uncertainties in climate modelling. Well, this latest IFOA paper reminds us that this accidental cooling has been declining rapidly, particularly since 2020, when global sulphur emissions from shipping were dramatically reduced as a result of stringent new regulations that cut sulphur content in marine fuels by more than 80% in just a few short years. Scientists have actually been able to see the impact of that from space, as the ship tracks, the long bright streaks of cloud formed by ship exhausts, have visibly reduced by more than 50%. Over that same time period, Ceres satellite data shows a significant drop in Earth's albedo or reflectivity, meaning the planet is absorbing more solar energy. Now, correlation doesn't mean causation, of course, as any good analyst will tell you, but as these things go, the correlation here is quite striking. The IFOA actuaries argue that the two things are linked and that we've effectively removed a global cooling mechanism, or a parasol as they put it, that had been masking some of the warming we humans have been causing. And now without that parasol, the true underlying warming trend is becoming visible, and it's faster than we thought. Some of you will be shouting James Hansen at the screen right now, and yes, I am fully aware of his 2023 Global Warming in the Pipeline paper that expands on the aerosol masking phenomenon. I'm not going to get into the weeds of that paper in this video though, it'd just take too long. But there are a couple of good critiques of it that I've linked in the description section if you want to get into that level of granular detail. Anyway, if EEI is rising so sharply, it means the climate system is accumulating heat faster than expected. The IFOA report links this to another phenomenon known as equilibrium climate sensitivity, or ECS, which gauges the eventual global temperature increase after the Earth system has stabilized following a doubling of atmospheric CO2. The IPCC gives a range for this of between 2.5 and 4 degrees Celsius, with a central estimate of 3 degrees. But the IFOA actuaries point out that three major lines of evidence now consistently nudge us towards the upper end, or even slightly above, that range. Satellite EEI data showing more absorbed solar radiation than models predict, paleoclimate studies suggesting that Earth's climate sensitivity has historically been higher during warm periods, and recent warming trends that exceed CMIP model projections, especially over the last decade. The report's authors note that models at the lower end of climate sensitivity simply don't produce the observed rise in energy imbalance. To match what we're seeing happening today, you need the models to be tracking closer to higher ECS values, possibly around 4 degrees Celsius or more. That builds directly on the argument made in the planetary solvency report that I looked at in a video last year. Back then, the researchers were already warning that mainstream scenarios were too optimistic because they tended to smooth out uncertainties rather than fully embody them. This time, the message is more blunt. The system is behaving like a high-sensitivity climate, and we need to adjust our risk management mindset accordingly. The report points out many of the tipping points that we've talked about quite often on the channel: the accelerating melt of the Greenland and West Antarctic ice sheets, the weakening Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or AMOC, Amazon rainforest dieback, permafrost thaw, and Arctic sea ice decline. And they argue that many of these systems are already showing early signs of destabilization. Now, these people are financial risk managers. They don't deal in averages or mean lines drawn through the middle of data points. They have to know the worst case scenario so they can advise their clients accordingly. So high impact risks, even if they're low probability, still demand their attention. And the IFOA is once again emphasising that the IPCC categorisation of these tipping points as low probability is looking increasingly outdated. The Global Tipping Points report, released last year, suggested that thresholds for several of these systems could be crossed between 1.5 degrees and 2 degrees Celsius. This paper points out that because we may breach 2 degrees C earlier than expected, possibly within the 2030s or 2040s, we are therefore heading into the danger zone much faster than policymakers appreciate. And as the now well-known rolling marble model shows us, once we tip past that apex, there's no turning back, at least not on a recognisable human timescale anyway. So the Parasol Lost paper sets out what it calls a planetary solvency recovery plan to support human prosperity, which in very basic summary goes a bit like this. Number one, a mindset shift. Stop treating climate change as an incremental emissions reduction problem and start treating it as a global systemic risk. Number two, quick wins. Do things that can cool the planet or at least reduce warming very quickly. Rapidly reduce methane emissions from fossil fuels, agriculture and waste. Methane accounts for between 30 and 45% of the current rate of global warming from human activity. Halt global deforestation. No need to spend too much time clarifying that one, hopefully. And cutting out short-lived climate pollutants like black carbon and hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs. Number three, supercharging the energy transition. Actively triggering positive tipping points in the clean energy shift, not waiting for market forces to get around to it. Historical transition success stories show that it's a mix of policy support and technological development that are critical to supporting those kinds of shifts. Number four, working with nature by restoring ecosystems, wetlands, forests, and oceans to bolster carbon sinks. And then we get to number five, which is where we suddenly get all contentious and controversial, because what the paper's authors mean by emergency brakes is essentially geoengineering stuff like solar radiation management and carbon dioxide removal. They're not in any way suggesting geoengineering as a replacement for emissions cuts, but more as a sort of break glass in emergency toolkit. They're certainly not saying we've got to deploy these unproven technologies immediately. In fact, they point out the very serious potential risks, like what would happen if we started and then stopped, something known as termination shock, where temperatures could suddenly spike back up again, like someone finishing a diet and then abruptly putting back on all the weight they'd lost. There are also uncertain secondary effects of solar radiation management, as well as climate justice and equity issues, governance challenges, and the moral hazard of such measures breeding complacency in our drive to reduce emissions in the first place. Geoengineering, as I've said on many occasions over the years, is a complete minefield. What the paper's authors are saying, though, is that as risk managers, it would be irresponsible not to at least fully examine and understand all the pros and cons given the accelerating trends. Risk assessments, the paper concludes, must assess the risk of actions against the risk from unmitigated climate change, sometimes called risk-risk assessment, rather than a hypothetical world without climate change. Without such holistic analysis, discussions risk bias toward the status quo, underestimating the dangers of inaction. Now, I know there are strong opinions out there on both sides of the climate action argument, so if you're keen to express your view, then the place to leave your thoughts is in the comments section below. That's it for this week though. A massive thank you, as always, to the good folks over at Patreon, and also at the Buy Me A Coffee and PayPal platforms and the YouTube Super Thanks supporters, all of whom enable me to make my weekly videos without ever having to resort to ads or sponsorship messages. And most important of all, thanks very much for watching. Have a great week, and remember to just have a think. See you next week.